Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the Matthew 10, 34 through 42. I will not reread it, but I'm going to read this text from Micah, the prophet, because it appears that our Lord is actually expounding as he's talking to the disciples before sending them out. He's expounding on this Micah text. And so that you have it in its context, I want to read it from verse 1 all the way to verse 7. As you know, the Bible in its original didn't have chapters and verses. That was all added by men later for our study, right? And so chapter 7, verse 1, Micah begins with this prophecy of woe. Woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered, as when the grapes have been gleaned. There is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig that my soul desires. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil. To do it well, the prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desires of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, of your punishment, has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt, and the daughter rises up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God for my salvation. My God will hear me. Here ends our text. Jesus, see, is prophesying about what he calls the sword. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, let's back up, because Jesus certainly did come to bring peace. He taught us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they're called the sons of God. The angels announced at his birth, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. Jesus had told his apostles that in this journey on which he was sending them out, that they were to bring his peace to the people they went to. He's called by Isaiah the prophet the Prince of Peace. But Jesus is teaching, just as he says in John 14, 27, when he makes his point here clear, peace I leave with you, I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. You see, the world's peace, as you've learned from life, is a fickle, fleeting, and failing thing. It will not help you when life gets tough. Twitch and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, nor the popular opinions, will lay down their lives for you. In fact, the world will betray you in a flash, right when you need them the most. But Jesus delivers to you, his repentant believers, his peace, which is peace with God right now and for all eternity. His peace, you see, never fails. Because Jesus has come to free us from Satan's dominion, to cleanse us from our sins, and to rescue us from death, and to restore us to right relationship with the Heavenly Father as his dear children, whom the world and Satan himself will rage against. Yet Jesus offers lasting peace. And the last thing that Satan wants is for anybody to receive that. So the evil one stirs up trouble, especially within and against the Christian church. He's a bully and a thug. Thus he uses the world, sadly, even others' eternal souls, for whom Jesus died, to attack faithful proclaimers of Christ's eternal kingdom and peace. Jesus is saying, in essence, that the expected reaction to his true peacemaking in the world is wrath. Don't be surprised when it comes. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those in his own household. Oh, how I hate that text. Yet that's how it's always been since the fall. Cain and Abel, Lot and his future son-in-laws, Joseph and his brothers, Naomi and Orpah, David and Absalom, the list goes on and on. Even Adam threw Eve under the bus right after they both chomped down on the forbidden fruit that brought sin and with it death to our world. I am confident you have been cut deeply by this sword yourselves. Notice this. Jesus knows. In fact, Jesus experienced it himself. His own family tried to stop him, declaring that he was out of his mind. Mark 3:21, right? Judas, one of his hand-chosen apostles, betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. Even his own heavenly Father turned from him at the cross because Jesus was my sin and your sins. And as Christ is praying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He is fulfilling the prophecy in Psalm 22 for us. And yet the Father is indeed forsaking him because of our sins. Jesus knows the pain. He knows the sadness. He knows the heartbreak. And he bears it with us. Jesus also knows that we'll be tempted to throw him away, to weaken his truth, to make peace with the sinful wants and desires and the whims of the world, as they both are Satan's puppets. But that won't work. At least it won't work very long. Jesus warns us, whoever finds his life will lose it. You see, finding the easy life, a life of peace with the world, won't last. Death is coming. Judgment is coming. It is precisely then when you need real peace and a real Savior who forgives those very real sins that we confess today and every day. For the world's power, popularity, and pomp, it will vanish and abandon its worshipers. When everything gets rough, and between now and then, finding the world's idea of life is an exhausting, frustrating venture, as everything is in a constant state of change. Just think what's occurred in the last 20 or 30 years of our own lives. How nuts things have gotten. Worldly acceptance will ask you for more and more. For the world, like all false gods, consumes its worshipers. Only the true God invites his worshipers to consume him. He gives you the forgiveness of your sins, strength, comfort, and a place to belong with him as he gives you his word, his absolution, his body and blood, all to save you and me. He has joined us to himself, his life, his death, and his resurrection through baptism. In Jesus, you receive a peace that the world can never take from you. Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We lose our life by repenting, by dying in Christ to our own works, and receive it by trusting only in the saving work and merit of Jesus. When the sword divides and dear ones remove themselves from the Lord's house, His truth and His gifts, then pray to the one who is the true peacemaker. Cry out to Jesus for those who think they found their lives but instead are losing it. Like the friends who carried the paralyzed man to Jesus and cut a hole in the roof and wouldn't let Jesus not be Jesus and heal him, but rather lowered him down to the great physician of body and soul. Carry them with you then. Carry their names with you as you approach the altar today and leave them at the feet of Jesus as you receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Drop these names at Jesus' feet. Call on Him, the very Son of God who died for them, to chase after them, to restore them, and to save them. In the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, there isn't a single case. There isn't a single case in which Jesus doesn't answer the plea for mercy of a parent or a friend of another. Pity these lost souls. Invite them to come with you to church. But don't nag and don't manipulate them. Pray for them. Jesus hears you. He knows what's needed. Trust Him to hear and to act as you stay close to Him yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him, for Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus goes with us. Here is great encouragement He gives the proclaimers of His word. No Christian missionary, no pastor, no confessor of the truth ever goes it alone. God goes with them. Listen to our Savior as He speaks His words of abundant joy. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives Him who sent me. Jesus goes with His faithful confessors so that when they are welcomed because of Him, Jesus is received Himself. And more than that, even our Father in heaven receives us when the Son is received. Even as we're hearing Jesus' words today, as you've received Pastor Rafa and myself in hearing the Word of God from the lectern and the liturgy and from the sermon, you are receiving Jesus and the Father as the Holy Spirit does His work. Think of what would be lost if instead of faithfully proclaiming Jesus, a pastor, a missionary, or a confessor instead chooses to make peace with the unbelieving world and offer worldly peace. You don't have to think very far if you've watched much of the news this week. We saw a perfect illustration of this. As we saw in the news that last Sunday in a ELCA congregation led by a married lesbian UCC minister, they confessed the Sparkle Creed. Yeah, I see the face. They didn't confess the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, or the Athanasian Creed, which all creedal churches confess. No, they confessed something I believe she herself wrote, or she at least found on the internet. In the Sparkle Creed, the first article, we believe in God who is non-binary. In the second article, and in Jesus, no mention of the Christ, and in Jesus who had two fathers, which oddly enough makes then the God in the first article binary. Couldn't even keep it straight. It's like some kindergarten child was writing it. And everybody in this church confessed as lemmings this heretical statements that one after another she proclaimed. Please understand that. Those who welcome that messenger have no chance of interaction to receive Jesus. Nor the Father, nor eternal life. not even peace. Because the word that was proclaimed is void of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. But when pastors and missionaries and confessors, Christians, deliver Jesus' blood-bought peace through the joyful confession of His name, then Jesus Himself is welcomed, and the Father of all mercy is pleased to bring His peace that will never fail. Jesus promises us that He is going to accompany the gospel. And it is why we preach Christ crucified as the only salvation for sinners. And this is big. Jesus died only for sinners. All sinners are welcome, but they have to come in faith. Anything less, anything else, is forfeiting the saving grace of our merciful Lord, who loves us and gave Himself for us. The rich promise of Jesus is always why being a servant of the gospel of Christ is the most blessed calling you can ever have. The good news of Jesus delivers Jesus and the Father to all who receive the message and all who receive His messengers. As the Holy Spirit does His work and creates saving faith, Jesus and the Father stick with the message and the messenger of the gospel through thick and thin. Our Lord once more gives us this stunning promise. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Jesus so values His disciples, those who go forth in His word, that what happens to the follower happens to him. A cup of cold water given to a disciple of Jesus is rewarded as if it was given to him. Think of what that means for our missionaries around the world, faithful pastors that you support. Jesus goes with them. Think of the encouragement here for us as believers who support missionaries and pastors in just giving a cup of water or generously supporting them with the gifts that the Lord has given us. You will not lose your reward. Nobody may offer you a thank you card for your generosity, for your support. But the Lord of eternal peace, who has saved us solely by by being damned in our place and raised from the dead to give us life eternal, indeed remembers. So, dear family in Christ, rejoice. For we are claimed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. Through God-given faith, we trust in Jesus alone for our salvation. Prayerfully, then, let us take up our cross and follow Jesus. Have no fear. There will be swords. There will be divisions. There will be heartbreak and pain. But Jesus is with you and will never leave or forsake you. Heaven is your home. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.